I mean, they just like, they don't want to wake up in the morning. They're just like, oh, I got to go. But if you change your perspective and say that I'm going to work because Jesus gave me this job and that he has a purpose for me here, then you're going to look a little bit differently at work, because you're going to see it as an opportunity to be a witness instead of something I dread just so I can make money. And so that was last week. I don't have that on the website yet because I was a slacker this week. But it'll be up there this week along with this one. And so we put all of our sermons online at believerscommunity.org. So if you miss anything, we live stream on there and everything. So it's a great resource for you. So today we want to look at our home life. We want to look at our home life. And I just want to ask you the question, how is your home life? Are you excited when you get to go home? Do you look forward to going home at night? Or is it something that you dread? You know, do you try to do everything to avoid having to go home because maybe your house is in chaos when you get there? You know, if you have young kids, then your house is probably in chaos a lot of the time. It's just, you know, they like to make messes for some reason. I don't know. And they scream and run. And but, you know, so a lot of times it's in chaos. You know, your home might even be the picture of order and discipline. I mean, I don't know what your home life looks like. But today I want us to look into our home life and see how we can live an undivided life at home. Because I believe that the family is the basis of a strong church. A strong family is the basis of a strong church and a strong community. And I think it's God ordained the family. And I mean, and that's the base of society. And if family is falling apart, then society's falling apart. Church is falling apart. And it comes back to where we need to give our home life to God so that we can glorify God through our family. Now, some of you are thinking, there's no way my family glorifies God at all. And you know, it might be a big task. But I just want to encourage you to be the light in your family. You know, you might be the only Christian in your family. I want to encourage you to be the light. Be Jesus to your family. When I was in college, I was in a ministry called Chi Alpha, and there was a husband and wife that led it. And one thing that really stuck to me, the wife, she said, sometimes I just need Jesus with skin on. And at first I was like, what? You know, but sometimes I just need someone to be Jesus to me. You know, and that's what we're supposed to be in life. We're supposed to be Jesus with skin on in wherever God places us. And one of those places is your family that you need to be Jesus with skin on. And so today, let's look at the undivided home life. And I want to look at three different characteristics of the undivided home life. And so I think if we have these three things in our family, in our home, I believe that we'll truly glorify God and that we can go in the right direction as far as our family is concerned. I want to start off with a statement of faith that Joshua made about his family. And I truly believe that we should be making statements of faith. I believe there's something powerful when we speak God's word over our family and over our life. And because there's power in God's word. You know, the Bible even says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. Choose to speak life over your family. Because there's so many things speaking death into in your life and in your family. Be the one that speaks life into your family. And let's speak God's word into our family. But I love this. Joshua, he was the guy who took over Moses' job. They're going into the promised land. And this is one of those moments where he's stopping and he's talking to the crowd. In Joshua 24:15, he says, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." That is a strong statement of faith that Joshua made over his family. And I believe that was part of the reason why Joshua was such a success in what God called him to do. Because he was a man of faith. And he trusted his family to the Lord. And I believe this is something that we all need to do over our family. Especially the men need to make a statement of faith over our family. This is one thing that we do in our house, is that we've made this statement of faith. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's no other option here. This is what we're doing, so let's do it. And I love that, you know, my kids are 6 and 4. And, you know, we talk about God, we talk about Jesus, we read the stories, and we pray with our kids, and we pray over our kids. And as far as my kids know, that's all there is Jesus. And they talk like, you know, Jesus is real. Because he is. Because that's what they know. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, sometimes our kids might decide to rebel. They might decide to question faith. And that's okay. Because there's something about God's word that once it's in your heart, you can't get rid of it. It's there. It's the seed planted and it's not going away. And so we pray over our kids. One day, one of them might rebel, but the word of God is planted in their hearts, and we're going to pray over that. We're going to water that, and God's going to grow that in their hearts. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. And that's the way we live life, because we serve the Lord. See, it's your choice. You choose if you and your house is going to serve the Lord or not. It's not up to fate, up to hope, up to someone else. You decide. As the leaders of your family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to teach our kids about the Lord. We're going to pray with our kids. And this is what they're going to know. And I put it in God's hand for their salvation. See, I just do what I feel that God needs me to do in pouring into my kids. See, you're not going to have a perfect family. But I believe as we incorporate these three characteristics in our family, we will have a strong family. See, I come from a strong family that has strong beliefs. And I'm thankful for my upbringing, because that was the statement of my family as I was growing up. We're serving the Lord. If we're having church, we're there. We're going. And we did all of these things. And I'm grateful for that. But as far as family is concerned, there's so many different roles within a family. And as I began to prepare for this, I started thinking of all the different roles. You know, you have husband, you have wife, you have parents, you have children. You might be the breadwinner of your family. You know, you might be the disciplinarian. You might be the entertainment director of your family. You might be the taxi driver. Anybody feel like a taxi driver sometimes with all those kids' activities? And, you know, you might be the chef, you might be the... There's so many different facets to a family that as I began to pray over this, that, you know, I actually prepared a sermon this week. And then when I got done with it, it was like a 3-week series. I was like, I'm sure y'all don't want to sit through that today. 3 weeks worth of stuff. And so I had to back up and simplify. And I brought it down to three different... kind of areas in the family that we're going to talk about today. And that's you as a spouse, you as a parent, and you as a child. Now, when I'm talking about you as a child, if you're living under your parents' roof, this is the category you're going to fit in, no matter what your age is in there. I believe the Bible talks specifically to this and things for you, and you're part of the family. And so, I think some of the teenagers got mad at me because I kept calling them children and child. And so I don't know. That's the only way I could explain it. So anyway, so we're going to look at these three different areas and these three characteristics and see how it all comes together so that we can have an undivided life at home. So let's jump into this. Number one, the number one characteristic that you need to have in your home is love. Now, that seems very basic. Yeah, we know that already. We go to church. But not all families live that out. Not all families, not all homes have that love. But it is the most important aspect of the family life, is you must have love in your house. And not just any love, but let's look in John, 1 John chapter 4 about this love that we're talking about. 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, this is the kind of love that we're talking about here, is this unconditional love that God has for us. And one interesting thing it says in here, it says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, there's a reason why the Bible encourages Christians not to marry unbelievers. And it's because an unbeliever can't truly love like we can love. Because when we were saved, the Holy Spirit came and lives on the inside of you. And now you have the love of God on the inside of you. This is not our love. We only can love conditionally. I love you if, or I love you because. That's our love. But God says, I love you. Period. And so we have an unconditional love of God in our hearts that unbelievers don't have. They can't love you unconditionally. And that's not a knock against them, because we're all that way. It's just that we have God in our lives now, and He brought in some love that is unconditional. It continues on in verse 9. For God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, true love, true unconditional love, is loving even if someone doesn't love you back. Loving even if someone is purposely going against you, bad-mouthing you, hating you. Unconditional love is loving no matter what. And see, this is what kind of love God gave us. And this is the kind of love that we need in our homes. Because let me tell you something, families don't always get along. I know none of y'all have ever experienced that in your life, but families fight. Families don't get along sometimes. And lots of times, if we're not careful, we begin to resent, we begin to hold grudges, and we begin to hate family. When we need to live the undivided life of unconditional love, and it only comes from God. See, you can't do it yourself. You have to have God in your life, and you have to be depending on that love in your life to be able to give it to others. It's that unconditional love, and we've got to have that in our marriages. We've got to have that for our spouse, that unconditional love. See, the marriage is the most important aspect of the family. As the marriage goes, so goes the family. If there's a struggle in the marriage between spouse, then it's going to affect the entire family. It's going to affect the kids. It's going to affect, because as the marriage goes, so goes the family. That's why it's so important for you to be investing in your marriage. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. You need to take your wife on a date every once in a while. You thought you say when I do that, you said I'm done with dating, but no, keep dating your wife. Keep loving your wife. Wives, keep loving your husbands. Yes, they're messy. Yes, they stink. But you got to keep loving them and keep doing things to show that love for your spouse. See, our marriage should be our number one priority. If we want strong families, we need to have strong marriages. There's nothing more sad to me when I hear a couple say that we're just staying together for the kids. And I understand why people say that. But if the marriage is falling apart, then the family is falling apart. It's so important that we're working on our marriages, that we need to rekindle that fire, that love for our spouse in marriage. So unconditional love. What does that look like as a parent? Unconditional love. See, lots of people think, you know, I love my kids. Yeah, it's just natural. You know, just mamas just love their kids. Well, the Bible actually at one point says, older women instruct the younger women on how to love their children. See, it's not something that comes naturally. There is love there. Yes, I understand that. But sometimes we need to be instructed on how to do that, what that truly looks like. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe this speaks directly to this. Ephesians 6, 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. See, I believe true unconditional love for your kids is shown through discipline and through instruction. I'm not saying beating your kids and yelling at them what they're supposed to be doing. That's all I'm saying. Discipline and instruction. See, there's parents out there today that just want to give everything to their kids. They might not have had anything in life. So they're just going to lavish their kids with everything that their hearts desire. And they think that's loving them, in which it's really hurting them in the long run. Yes, you want to give your kids stuff. I believe that you should make things special. I pick up Owen from preschool several times a week, and every time he gets in the car, he's like, hey, Dad, what's something special we're going to do today? I'm like, son, it can't be special every day, or otherwise it's not going to be special. It'll just be every day. But anyway, my kids love doing special stuff. You know, I take my daughter on dates. Me and my son, you know, we'll go to the bounce house and we'll jump, just me and him. And, you know, we like to do special stuff for our kids. But that can't be your whole relationship of you just giving your kids everything they want. Because I don't believe that's true love. Because God says that we as parents need to bring them up with discipline and the instruction of God's word. See, parents, it's your job to teach your kids about Jesus. It's great that you bring your kids to church. They go in kids' turn and crossroads and U-turn. It's great that they do that. But we have them for about an hour a week. There's only so much that we can plant in their hearts and instill in them in that hour. You have them every day. It's your job to bring instruction in their life on what it looks like to love God. What it looks like to serve your fellow man. To help the widows out That's your job to teach them and to instruct them. Well, I never was taught that. I don't know how to do that. Start by going to Hastings. Get a book with Bible stories in it. And every night before you go to bed, read it to them. And pray with them before you go to bed. That's a great start. Do that. Pray over meals. Have those moments when you would pray. Include your kids in that. This is teaching them how to live for God. No better instruction than example of how to do it. See, it's your job to teach your kids how to do that. It's your job to bring discipline into their lives. And I'm not talking about just beating your kids. I'm talking about instruction and discipline together. Why should we not lie? Why should I tell the truth? Why shouldn't I take the toy from my brother? See, discipline and instruction should go together. But see, I think we should make things special in the family. I think as we love, you know, growing up, one of our memories was all of our vacations that we'd go on. You know, and we never went to Disney World. We never went to the beach, anything like that. But we would go to my aunt's lake house in Missouri. And it was just, we'd just hang out. You know, we had the Pickleheads, the singing group. In the car, we'd turn on some oldies and we'd just start singing. And, of course, it was horrible sounding. I was always like what's the high one, the soprano? Or, yeah. We'd just have fun. We'd have fun together as a family. And we'd watch movies and we'd go to the arcade. And those are special moments that I remember growing up. I think we should make family special. I think we should make it fun. You should have family traditions. See, my kids love Christmas. Ever since Owen's birthday in July, he's been asking, is it Christmas yet? is it Christmas time? And he just loves Christmas. Like, we've been listening to Christmas music already, okay? And it's because of Owen. He loves I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. That's his song right now. That's his jam. And so we're jamming, rocking the minivan, Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. But he loves, like, Miranda's this way. She loves Christmas. She's got snowmen everywhere. She loves to collect snowmen. And so there's snowmen everywhere, Christmas tree, and they just love it. And it's family tradition that we decorate together, and we watch the Christmas movies together. And I believe we should make family special, and we should make it fun. But the ultimate job of the parent is to bring discipline and instruction. See, I believe if you bring discipline and instruction without love, then your kids are going to rebel. So you got to have the combination of love, discipline, and instruction together. As a child, as someone living under your parents' house, what should love look like? This unconditional love. It's where it gets fun. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to spend a lot of time in Ephesians and 1 John today. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. See, kids love to hear this. What are you supposed to do, kids? Obey and honor your parents. See, we live in a society that is so disrespectful and just so anti-authority that if we're not careful, we allow that to bleed into our homes. See, your kids are seeing that at school. They're seeing kids talking ugly about their parents, talking ugly to other kids, talking ugly to the teachers. And that's the society we live in. And if we're not careful, that will be the atmosphere of our home, is disrespect and dishonor and disobedience. And that's not the way that God wants the home to be. See, it's our job as parents to teach our children how to be respectful, how to be obedient, how to be submissive to authority. See, if you as a parent, you know, you're driving down the road 60 and a 30 and that cop pulls you over and you start cussing the cop, what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching your kids to disrespect authority. And then what that will return to you is them starting to disrespect you. Because that's what you're teaching them. See, it's our job that we need to teach honor and obedience to our kids. We need to be the examples of that. But if you're living under your parents' house, you need to honor and respect and obey your parents. Well, they're rude to me. You can't help what other people do. It's your job to honor and respect. See, I love this. This is the first commandment with the promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. Let me give you some tips here. If you do what your parents tell you to do, things will go better for you. And then if you don't, okay? Am I right, parents? If your parents tell you to go clean your room and you go do it, things will go well for you, okay? You won't get grounded. You know, you won't get your phone taken away. And you'll live long on the earth. How many of you heard this phrase? I brought you into this world. I will take you out. Things will go well for you and you will live long on the earth. Obey and honor your parents. All right, let's move on. Number two. See, first we got to have that unconditional love in our families. We got to have, number two, forgiveness. We need to have an atmosphere of forgiveness within our families. See, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. That's tough. That's where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff right there. See, we need to have an atmosphere of forgiveness in our homes, especially in our marriages. Because if you've been married for more than a week, then you know that you're going to fight. You're going to have a disagreement once a year. At least one, right? You're not going to see eye to eye. And there's going to be these times of anger and outbursts and You're going to have those moments in marriage. And if you decide that you're going to have an atmosphere of forgiveness in your home, then life is going to be a lot better for you. It's so vital in a marriage that you forgive one another. See, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let your sun go down. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil." How many times have you experienced this? You have a big fight right before you go to bed. It always seems to happen right before you go to bed. I don't understand that, but that's about the only time we me and Miranda is right before bed because of the kids. But anyway, it seems like you have this big fight and you just go to bed and you're mad and then you wake up and it seems to multiply overnight. Just that anger and resentment about this fight and you wake up and you fight again. I'm sure none of y'all have experienced that. But see, what happens is there's a principle here. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because that gives a foothold for the devil to work. See, I believe so many marriages break up because they don't deal with the disagreements right. You got to learn to work on those things, to work through those things. You got to learn to forgive, even when they don't deserve to be forgiven. See, you didn't deserve to be forgiven of your sin, but Christ died for you anyway. And see, that needs to be the atmosphere of our home. Yes, you said that, and it hurt me, but I forgive you anyway. I didn't ask you to forgive me. I forgave you anyway. See, we need to have that atmosphere of forgiveness in our home. What does that look like as a parent? If you notice, children don't come to you perfect. That somehow they know how to roll their eyes at you at an early age. Has anybody noticed this? But your children are going to make mistakes. They're going to do wrong. The one that gets me the most, and this is just me, I'm sure this is nobody else, but the one that gets me the most is you tell your child to do something and they look you directly in the eyes and then turn around and walk away. I'm like, oh no, no. I have to watch myself on that one. It reminds me of the movie Inside Out, you know, anger, you know, like the fire, just you just see it in their eyes, you know. And but we got to realize that our kids' brains aren't developed yet. You know, they don't think like we think. They don't process things like we process things. And I think a lot of parents try to treat their kids as adults when they don't have the capacity to think like an adult. See, we can't treat them like adults. Their mind's not there. They still have a lot of developing to do. And that's part of what you do as a parent, is help to develop those things and to bring those things out. But there's times that we have got to forgive our kids. You know, when they do that, they look at you in just defiance, like, no. And you know, you've got to learn to forgive that. You can't hold that against your children. Because I've seen so many times that, you know, I work with teenagers, and so I see a lot of that. And lots of times a teenager will make a mistake, and the parent reminds them, like, every day. Like, they had a wreck, like, 3 years ago, and like, you be careful. I remember when you had that wreck. And it's just like, can you forgive me of this already? And there needs to be an atmosphere of forgiveness with our children. And if you do your kids wrong, I mean, I know none of y'all make mistakes with your kids. I'm the only one that does this. But when I do my kids wrong, I ask my kids to forgive me. Well, that's just a sign of weakness. You're letting them win. No. See, your kids know when you're wrong. And they will hold that against you. If you say that you're right when you're wrong, and they know it and you know it and everyone knows it, and you stick to your guns. See, your kids will respect you more if you ask for forgiveness when you do wrong than if you think you need to hold the high ground. See, there's times that I've had to apologize to my daughter, because maybe I acted out of anger, in discipline, or something like that. And I can just see it in my daughter's eyes. I've done something wrong. And I send her to her room. And I said, I'm going to be in there in a few minutes. You know, I have to go cool down. And so I come back and I just see this look on her face like she's ready to fight or something. And I just look at her and said, Ella, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I shouldn't have done it that way. I'm sorry. And you just see this. It just melts immediately. And then I can have a conversation with her. See, there's lots of times that I've seen that there's a battle between a child and a parent. And it's just like they're just knocking heads all the time. And lots of times there's unforgiveness there. There's resentment there from the child because the parent was never willing to say, I'm sorry, I did that wrong. There needs to be some forgiveness there. As a child, as someone living under someone else's roof, what should forgiveness look like? See, I just want to say this, that being a parent is hard. It's harder than I ever imagined. Because when you were born, you didn't come with a manual on how to do it, you know, how to discipline. And so we're just trying to figure this thing out as we go. And so being a parent is hard. And sometimes we come home and we've had a bad day and you've had a bad day and you say something and then it all goes downhill from there. And you know, your parents aren't perfect. Sometimes they've had a bad day. It's hard. Forgive your parents. Even if they don't ask, forgive your parents. I wish I could make an excuse of why your parents do what they do, but I can't. But see, it's up to you on how you respond to that. Teenagers, it's up to you on how you respond to your parents. And as you grow up, you need to realize that your response is your responsibility. And you choose your own destiny by your attitude. And so if we can start off with the attitude of forgiveness that is found in a family, I believe that if spouses are forgiving, if parents are forgiving, then children will be forgiving as well. And that they'll grow up with that in their hearts. Number three. First one is we got to love unconditionally. Second two, we have to have an atmosphere of forgiveness. Number three, we need to have a heart of sacrifice in family. If we're truly going to live an undivided life, that we need to have a heart of sacrifice in the family. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. We've already read this, but it's an example. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. See, in marriage, there's got to be sacrifice. There's got to be sacrifice in a marriage for it to work. A lot of people go in with the attitude, it's like, you know, it's 50-50. You know, marriage is 50-50. You know, this person gets 50%, this person gets 50%, and we'll have a good marriage. Well, that's why over 50% of marriages fail. See, we should have the attitude of sacrifice in that I go 100% in this marriage no matter what my spouse gives. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. But see, if you have two spouses giving 100% to the other person, then you're going to have a strong marriage. That you're going to have that strong connection. Because there's times that one of you can't give 100%. And the other one has the grace and the sacrifice to make up for that. See, in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about sacrifice. Ephesians 5:21, it says, And guys love this scripture. I don't know why, but it says, and furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. And guys like to stop there and think, yes, woman, submit to me, you know, but they forget to read on. Verse 25, for husbands, this means to love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. See, this is talking to sacrifice right here. What did Jesus do for the church? He sacrificed everything, even his own life for the church. See, Jesus is the picture of what sacrifice truly is. See, a lot of husbands like to say, well, I go to work and I pay the bills, and so I'm sacrificing, and that's my sacrifice for the marriage. And it's almost a standoffish, like, I'll take care of this and you take care of this at home. But see, Jesus was a lot more personal with his sacrifice. He just didn't die for everybody. But we see the scene at the end of the Last Supper to where, you know, they come in and it's customary to for someone to wash the feet of the people because it was dusty and they walked around and they had sandals on. And so they'd wash their feet. And Jesus showed the ultimate sacrifice in that as the leader of the group, he took the lowest servant position. And that he kneeled down and he grabbed the towel and he got the water and he washed the disciples' feet. The ones that were serving him, he served his disciples. And see, this should be the picture of the husband in the marriage. And let me tell you something, guys. If you're willing to sacrifice in your marriage, your wife will be willing to submit to you. Can I get a witness, ladies? See, if you be the husband like Christ is over the church, your wife will willingly submit. Your family will willingly submit to you because you're giving all for them, 100%. And see, this is the picture of what sacrifice looks like. What does sacrifice look like in parenthood? Well, my definition of parenthood is sacrifice. Because when I got married, I realized how selfish I was and I started to sacrifice. Then I had kids. Then I really saw how selfish I was. And so I believe that if you're living this undivided life as a parent, you are sacrificing for your children, that you're giving up for them. But one thing you don't need to sacrifice is your marriage as you sacrifice for your family. See, I see too many people giving all to the kids. You know, they're busy. They got ball. They got dance and they got all this stuff going on. And you sacrifice so much for your kids that your marriage begins to hurt. See, don't sacrifice your marriage for your kids. Because if your marriage isn't there, then the family falls apart. And so don't sacrifice your marriage for your children. All right, lastly, as a child, as someone who lives under someone else's house, what does sacrifice look like? See, our kids come into the world naturally selfish, right? Sacrifice is not something that is natural to us. So as you live under someone else's roof, under your parents' roof, don't always demand your way. Don't always be pushing to get your way and do it your way. And this, you know, don't always be a burden by asking too much. See, most parents want to give to their children. They want to bless their children with what they want. But teenagers, don't ask for too much. Don't be a burden on the family. Because one thing I've realized as a husband, as a dad, is that, you know, stuff costs money. And you only make so much money. And you can overspend yourself trying to bless your family. And so don't be a burden to your family, teenagers. Another way that you can sacrifice is that you can go the extra mile at home. Surprise your parents one day by cleaning the kitchen without being asked. Where are them parents at? That's good preaching right there. Come on. Clean your room without being asked. If it's your job to mow the yard, do it. Keep it mowed down. You know, and weed the flower bed while you're at it. You know, go the extra mile. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to your family and sacrifice because you don't understand the sacrifice that your parents make for you. So you need to be willing to sacrifice for the family as well. So in this undivided life, undivided family home life, we need to have unconditional love. We need to have an atmosphere of forgiveness that's given freely and willingly. And we got to have an atmosphere of sacrifice. Everyone all across the family. Because I believe, parents, as you instill this into your children, as you show this, as you're the example of this to your children, that you're building the next generation. Not of just the next generation of your family, but a next generation of the church. So that the church still looks like Christ in the next generation. Father, thank you today. God, thank you that you have given everything. God, I just pray that as we give our lives to you, God, that we can be undivided in that. Prayer team, if you'd go ahead and come forward. God, I pray that we can be undivided in our lives, that we can give our home life to you. God, I just pray for those today who are struggling in their marriage. God, that there's tension there, and there's, it might be even to the point to where they don't feel like they love each other anymore. God, I lift these families up to you, God. I pray that you just bring a restoration to their marriage. I pray that you just kindle the love in their hearts again. God, and I pray for that family that's struggling with their teenager, with their child, maybe because of rebellion, maybe because of whatever reason. God, Lord, just bring strength. God, bring wisdom to this family. God, your heart is for the family. God, and I pray that we put priority on that and giving that to you, because in ourselves we will fail as a family without you. God, take over our families. We thank you in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you are struggling in your marriage. Maybe this one, you know, kind of hurt because you might be thinking about divorce today. God wants to restore that. Don't give up. Don't give up. Allow God a chance to restore that marriage. Allow God to restore that relationship with your child. If you need prayer today, we have people up here ready to pray. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, we want to pray with you today. We want to talk with you today. Because that's where true love starts, is with Jesus Christ. So as we stand today, as we worship today, if you need prayer for whatever reason, these people are ready to pray.